Welcome to the Next Gen Podcast. Stepping up to the microphone are your hosts, Bryson Wright and Alex Winton. They got next, so let's get to the show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Next Gen Podcast here on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Bryson Wright, and I'm joined by my co-host, Alex Winton. And we got to start with talking about continuing our conversation from the last episode about the FIBA World Cup, because Team USA has continued their exhibition games, and they had the biggest one that they've had, which was against Spain. They played Slovenia, but Luka didn't play, so like, that basically didn't really count to me. Like, obviously, they won the game, but Luka didn't play, so it kind of felt, you know, kind of not worthless. Like, it was good to have those minutes, but it wasn't as exciting as it probably would have been if Luka played. But that game versus Spain. Spain, if you don't know, it's probably the only time you'll ever watch a Team USA basketball game where they came into the game as the underdogs. Because Spain is ranked number one in the world coming into this tournament. They won the gold medal last time in FIBA, and, you know, the U.S. came in seventh. So they were ranked number one. They are playing in Spain. And I'll start with this. You could tell by the refs that they were playing in Spain. They were definitely playing in Spain. That, you know, the refs were, like, getting awards and stuff at halftime. And it really, you could really tell, like, It felt like it was leaning that sort of way, especially kind of in the third quarter. Not to say that was like the only thing, but it was a hostile environment. I would say it's probably one of the more difficult exhibition games. I mean, it's the most difficult exhibition game you could have for this FIBA World Cup tournament. And Team USA went in, got the 10-point win. It was a really close game overall. But obviously, the number one reason why we got to talk about this game, especially for this podcast, is because we got Jaren Jackson Jr. versus Santi Aldama, and they both played really well. I feel like Santi has really started to come into his own for Team Spain. He's really kind of like their sixth man. He's not starting, but he has been leading the team and scoring in a lot of these games. He ended up with 14 points in this game. And then on the other end, I think Jaren played really well as well. You know, he had a lot of blocks. I think he had 3 blocks in this game. He had 14 points, and, you know, he hit a 3. He did a lot in the post, pick and roll. He had a really nice and one in that fourth quarter that kind of, like, sparked the run for Team USA at the end of the game. So I think he had a really good game. And just overall, I think it was probably the most compelling of the exhibition games. And I think it's the one that really showed you kind of what this Team USA team could be, while also, you know, getting to see what – like, basically a preview of what I think is probably going to be the gold medal game. If they don't end up, you know, based on how the tournament works, they could end up playing earlier than that. But it looks like this is probably going to be the gold medal game. And it lived up to the hype. And, you know, but it was really good to see both Jaren and Santi play really well. Because even though, you know, both of them couldn't win, it felt like the Grizzlies just had a good day. Like, it felt like the Grizzlies won. Even though, you know, both of them aren't on the same team, so they both couldn't win. But I feel like it was just a win for Grizzlies fans getting to see that for sure.
Yeah, I agree with the Grizzlies sentiment. I mean, I think it was like, regardless who won the game, I think I was going to feel decent about it as long as both of them played well. I mean, wish they did. Obviously, with Santi, you can see that he's obviously got a bigger role on that team versus the one with the Grizzlies. But obviously, you hope that the stuff that he does on this FIBA run, he can translate to the season. And a lot of it's not really different than what he's done before with the Grizzlies, but just this just looks a lot better. Like, he's shooting the ball a lot better. I feel like his shot prep is a lot better. He's getting to his shot easier. He's playing with a lot more confidence on both ends. So, you know, I do feel like that's a real noticeable thing. Obviously, with Jaren, we already been talked about it. Like, Jaren's shown, you know, he's been playing well. It was cool to see them match up a couple times. I think Jaren guarded Santi a couple times, and I think he got a few stops on him, actually, and I think the vice versa, so that was cool to see. But, yeah, no, that was really a good game. Again, like you said, like, this is probably the only game they'll be underdogs, USA will, because that's the only team that really that they had ranked over them. And, again, they got ranked, like you said, they were seventh. So, of course, they were going to – there's a chance that they weren't going to be the number one team, even though they've shown to have dominance over the past – couple decades and stuff like that. So But yeah, I feel like Jaren and Brunson kind of really set the tone for Team USA. Obviously, Ant did too as well. But I felt early on, I felt like it was like Jaren and Brunson really the guys that were kind of really setting the tone in the first quarter or first half. And then really that third quarter kind of got dicey. You know, Spain kind of made a run and, you know, they got the lead. And then really in the fourth quarter, they really locked down and really got the game back. And again, I think it's good for them to have a close game like that. You don't want every game to be a blowout because you want to be able to actually be in scenarios where you got to play and have focus on every possession and things of that nature. I mean, I felt like that game was kind of representative of that. I think it was a good game just for Team USA in general. But like you said, for the Grizzly fans, it was good to see that Jaren and Santi played well. Like, both of them scored, I think, like I said, around the same amount of points. So, I mean, it was really good. I think my hope is that, again, we can see both of these guys on the court together, more lineups of them together, because last year that was kind of a thing that we didn't really get to see was Jaren and Santi lineup. Not to say we didn't see it at all, but I felt like we didn't see it enough. And so I hope, really, that we see that going more into this coming up season, especially if Santi can make a leap, get stronger, things of that nature. I'm just hoping Jenkins explores that a little bit more, because I think that those guys as floor spacers, you could basically have a lot more spacing on the floor, which again will open up lanes for everybody involved. So at least from the offensive end. So yeah, no, it was a really great game. I think that was a great game, and I'm hoping that they can match back up again, because I think it will be just the same type of atmosphere and, you know, level of intensity. So yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, talking about them playing together, I think that the roles that both of them have on their national teams is actually going to prepare them more to play with each other. Because I feel like for Santi, he's had to do a lot more, like, facilitating and playing off of other people than he's usually had to do. I know he had, like, 3 assists in this past game, but there was a couple games ago where he led the team in points, rebounds, and assists. You know, that's something that he's not used to doing for the Grizzlies. So I think that's something that can help him, is having that bigger role. And then for Jaren, like we talked about on the last episode, he's learning how to be like a traditional 5 a little bit more. Obviously, he's still going to start the game and most likely finish the game with Steven Adams. And, you know, what Steven Adams brings to the team. I mean, you saw how important he was to the team when he didn't play in that Lakers series, right? So this is not to say that we should just start Jaren and Santi and Steven Adams is out of the question. But if you're talking about, like, you know, maybe the middle of the second quarter or the middle of the third quarter, and it's one of those lineups where it might be Jaren with a lot of bench guys, you might need to move Jaren over to the 5 and play him with, you know, somebody like Santi. Brandon Clark is going to be somebody else they're going to do that with. Maybe even some Kenneth Lofton Jr. But I think that Santi has really kind of emerged as a candidate to play with Jaren a lot, like in those bench units, just because I feel like they both kind of, like, where the other one is lacking a little bit in their game, you know, like Jaren is not a great passer. He doesn't make really good reads. That's his issue. I feel like Santi does a lot better with stuff like that. He's a better passer. He's a better ball handler. If you look at his film from when he played with the Hustle a lot, he was basically like one of their primary guys, are basically like the secondary ball handler for a lot of that season. Obviously, it's G League game, so it's a little bit different, but it's somebody who's done that before, and that's something he's used to, whereas Jaren doesn't do that. And then you kind of look at it on Jaren's side, you know, he's really like the defensive anchor. Santi has been getting better at his defense, not to say he's not a good defender, but he's just not. I mean, obviously, Jaren's the defensive player of the year. Santi's not the same level of rim protector that Jaren is. So I just feel like they really complement each other really well. So seeing them get to play against each other was really awesome. You know, that's cool. But the entire time, I'm trying to imagine, like, what it's going to look like when they're playing next to each other and when they have the same color jersey on, not when, you know, they're going against each other for this. But like I said, I think it's going to be good for both of them. And I just think this experience, just playing for your country, especially at a young age, especially as young as Santi is, you know, Jaren is still young too. But both of them, you know, getting this experience and then bringing that kind of, like, because I feel like when you play for Team USA, Team Spain, you get like a different kind of feel, especially of like what it takes to really be a leader. And because, you know, these are a lot of times teams that are thrown together, you know, you got a few practices and then you got to go and play games, right? And I feel like that's something that can really help you grow as a leader if you can really get that group to kind of buy in. And I feel like Jaren has done that on the defensive end as a leader. And I think Santi, even though he's one of the younger players on the team, I feel like you can also see that from him. So I hope they both bring that back to the Grizzlies as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, again, people forget, like, this is – they're both, like, what? Santi's, like, what, I think 22, if I'm not mistaken. So, like, yeah, them being this young, having this experience is obviously good, especially for – because both of them are still in their development stages. I know Jaren was defensive player of the year and all-star and this and that, but these guys are young. Like, people understand the whole league is young. So, like, guys that are, like, 24, 25, they're still growing. So, yeah, I think the biggest thing – again, like you said, to about what the Adams thing and just it's not we're saying, like you said, we're not saying that Santi should start. My biggest thing is just having options and knowing when to switch it up and being able to make that switch soon. So like if Adams doesn't have it or you want to get a different look, you can throw in Santi. Same when they were doing with X, basically, where X would start the game. But if they knew he didn't have it or the matchup didn't present itself, they went with Santi or they went with a small ball lineup, you know, stuff like that. I think they need to explore more because if you have more versatility, the more, you know, you're going to be better off because you'll be able to play different types of styles against different types of teams and not really have any drop off in any significant way. So I think that's really a big thing. And hopefully we see it because I think we will see it because especially with Ja being out for the first 25 games and then obviously, you know, BC to start the season, you know, I think you're going to have to try different things, especially in the early stages of the season, which, and I mean, they've done that the last couple of years before where they tried things and see if they worked and it didn't work. And maybe even come back to them later down the line. So yeah. You know, I was very encouraged by that, you know, in terms of how they played and, you know, how they looked on the court. So yeah, no, I'm just going to be interested to see how they keep going. Cause again, they still got a lot of games. Like I think USA got like two or three more games before they start. And I think Spain might have a couple of games as well. So, I'll be interested to see how those games go.
Yeah, so for Team USA, as we're going to continue to kind of talk about them for a little bit, because we got one more thing we got to talk about. But they got two more games. They got Greece coming up on August 18th, and then they're going to be playing Germany on August 20th. So those will be the last two games, and then they are going to get started with the games that actually count on August 26th. They're going to be playing New Zealand. But the other thing we got to talk about is I feel like if we didn't talk about it, because the clip went viral today, so I feel like we got to mention it. It was the Anthony Edwards Duncan. Jaren didn't jump with him, and he goes, jump, you the defensive player of the year, like all that. And I feel like it made, like, so I'll be honest, I saw it at about 7:30 when I first woke up, and I didn't comment on it, but it was the first clip on the USA basketball thing. I have the notifications on Twitter for him. Just for this run. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, man, somebody's going to pick this up and run with it. Now, me personally, I was not going to be the one to do it. So I was like, whatever. But it was probably about, I don't know, maybe 1 or 2 o'clock when I saw the first person tweet it out. And I was like, here we go. And then it was Bleacher Report, NBA Central, all the big, because this is the big thing. All the big NBA Twitter accounts know that if they talk bad about the Grizzlies just because of how the last season went, it's going to get a lot of interactions. So anytime, and then you have Anthony Edwards, who's a young star on the other end, and everybody loves Anthony Edwards too. So I feel like that was something that was, you know, it was something that was going to get a lot of traction. But for me, I know we're talking about it, but like, honestly, I didn't really see it as that big of a deal. Like a lot of people like to make stuff that's a bigger deal, talking about, is, you know, are they having issues on the team and stuff? Like, no, they're not. It's a practice, man. People are competitive. People talk trash. Like, that's just how basketball is. Like, it was cool and all. He told him to jump. He didn't jump. If Jaren jumps and Anthony Edwards gets hurt, then he looks like a horrible person because it's a practice. If he jumps and gets dunked on, you know, it's kind of like a lose-lose situation on his end. I mean, obviously, you're like, it's a practice, so do you want to go for the block? Do you not? I feel like, especially playing with Ja, he knows that, like, sometimes you just got to let it go because Anthony Edwards is going to be really important for Team USA down the stretch. But I also love that Anthony Edwards has that kind of fire to also like speak up and talk about it. But yeah, but we knew Anthony Edwards hates the Grizzlies. Anthony Edwards has hated the Grizzlies for like 2 years, like pretty hard. Because this was even before the playoff series. He said all he wanted to do was beat Memphis. Because I remember reading that. I think it was probably like February of 2022. So it was like before they even played in the playoffs. I remember reading that and being like, what? Like, what have they even done? Then they ended up matching up. And then now it will make a little bit more sense. But I feel like a lot of people are over-exaggerating. They're like, oh, fake defensive player of the year. Anthony Edwards does. But like, okay, it is what it is. But I just felt like we had to talk about it a little bit. I really thought it was funny, though. Like, that was my first reaction, was just, I thought it was really funny. But, yeah, it was cool, though. Like, I'm an Anthony Edwards fan, man. I'm cool with Anthony Edwards. I mean, obviously, I'm also a Jaren Jackson Jr. fan, if you listen to this podcast. But I was like, I was not fine. Like, I had no problems with it. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I saw it late. I was at work when I saw it. I didn't even know it came out that early, which was funny because I think I saw it like after it blew up, like it already has that many. And I looked and I was just like, okay, that's whatever. Like, it's basketball. Like, I played basketball this past weekend. And obviously we didn't talk like that, but I mean, we was having, like, it's just competitive talk. Like, it's basketball. People who are saying real things about it are just trying to get clicks and interaction, which is cool. I mean, I ain't mad at it. It's shorter. That's what the app's for. But like, that was nothing. I mean, it's a lose-lose situation because, I mean, he go up, either he get dunked on or he blocks it, and then – or if he doesn't block it and he hurts Ant, then it's really going to look stupid because the whole team going to be mad at him because why you go up for it? And you know what I mean? Like, it's just – it's a lose-lose situation. There's really nothing to it. Like, of course Ant was going to say that. It's Anthony Edwards. Like, this is one of the most competitive, talkative dudes in the league. That's why he's the star he is. Like – like, I'm not really, like, moved by it. It was funny. Like, I found it funny. Just thinking about it now, talking about jump, meet you the deepest play of the year. I just find it funny. But, like, yeah, nah, it wasn't, like, anything crazy. Like, it's just part of the game. Like, it's part of it. I'm pretty sure Jaren moved on the next play. Like, that's the thing that they've said about Jaren. Jaren don't really care about that type of stuff. Like, he'll just move on to the next thing. So, yeah, nah, I mean, that's it was what cool.
He talked about, I think it was on Paul George's podcast where he talked about that. Where he talked about, like, there was one game where I think he said it was like the Pacers, like a team you wouldn't think about it, where a bunch of dudes was like dunking on him and stuff. And he was like, you know what happens? Just move on to the next play. And I feel like that's how he was. But like I said, I feel like it was mostly just like, you know, Twitter and, you know, social media and just like the whole media sphere in general sometimes, especially at the time of year it is, you know, because in terms of NBA stuff, there's not a ton going on besides a USA basketball scrimmage. So if you're trying to get, you know, clicks and stuff on an NBA video article, it's something they just want to talk about. But it did bring me to one last thing, is that we need another Grizzlies Timberwolves series, man. We need it badly. We need it so badly because, I mean, during the series, obviously it was really stressful. And maybe if the Grizzlies hadn't have won the series, I would look on it a little bit differently. But I just felt like it was one of the funniest basketball series I've ever seen. But that's besides the point. But the 20-point comebacks, D'Angelo Russell was shooting the ball off the backboard. Like, there was just so much crazy stuff that was going on. We in Minnesota now, just like the trash talking back and forth. And then, like, the clip that I saw, I got to give a shout-out to our guy Grizz Company Main on Twitter because he pulled up the video of Ja blocking Ant and talking trash, and, like, T. Morant was over in the corner dancing in the video and stuff. Like, all of that, it's just, like, we need that. I feel like we need more teams that don't like each other. So we need another playoff series to really make that be a real rivalry, just because the Grizzlies talk the most trash in the NBA as a team, and I think Anthony Edwards – maybe talks as much trash as the Grizzlies does by himself. So it's just like a perfect matchup. So that'll be my last little thing on that.
Yeah, I'm not mad at it. I mean, I'm not mad if they had another series. I don't know. I think the Timberwolves are solid. I mean, you know what I mean? But if they don't get in the series, I won't trip. But I mean, I won't mind it. Like, you mean, it'd be cool. You know what I mean? Like, I think the Timberwolves, a lot of teams, again, don't like us for obviously because we talk a lot of crap. But to be honest, we are the standard. Like I always say about Ja and other point guards, like younger point guards, he's the standard. The Grizzlies are the standard. So, like, of course they're going to want to beat the Grizzlies because they want to do what the Grizzlies have done over the last couple of years. I know we haven't won a championship, but the way they've kind of just been successful over the last three, four seasons, that's what they want to do. So I'm not necessarily surprised that, you know, teams are going to be like wanting to, you know, be like, oh, let's beat the Grizzlies or I hate the Grizzlies. Like, yeah, that's what they want to do. Because if they beat them, they're like, oh, we're doing something all right. So, yeah, like, you know, it just comes part of the, you know, it's part of the territory.
Yeah, for sure. And then moving on, did want to touch on something else that happened this week, and that is Pau Gasol was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Obviously, he went in as a Laker because that was when he won his championships and all that. So, you know, that's part of it. But he's the first player to ever be drafted by the Grizzlies and then make the Hall of Fame. So I think that's something that's to be celebrated. So, and like, he was the first Grizzly to ever win an in-season award. When he won Rookie of the Year. So I think he still is very important to, you know, the Grizzlies' history. And when you talk about Grizzlies' history, I think you do have to mention Pau Gasol. Obviously, Mark is the one that I feel like is going to end up, like, he's going to be remembered as a Grizzly. Pau is going to be remembered as a Laker. That's how it's going to be. But just for both of them, I feel like, you know, the Grizzlies have, and just Memphis in general, has been very important to the Gasol family, just because, you know, Pau getting drafted to Memphis was one of the reasons why Mark Gasol ended up playing in Memphis before he was on the Grizzlies, because he moved with his brother. So it's like all this little stuff is important just to, like, the Grizzlies' history. So did want to give a quick shout out to Pau Gasol. I saw some people talking about if his jersey is going to be retired as a Grizzly. I would doubt it. I mean, he's definitely going to get retired as a Laker. I feel like, I mean, Mark Gasol is going to get, he's definitely going to get retired, but I don't think Pau is, even though he was, like, the first guy. I just feel like he didn't have the same, like, cultural effect, if that makes sense. Because it really felt like, you know, with Zebo, Mike Conley, Tony Allen, and then Mark Gasol, like, that core four, it really felt like their culture and everything was really built what the Grizzlies became today. And I just don't feel like Pau was really a part of that. So, and, like, you know, he didn't win a playoff series. I don't even know if you want a playoff game as a Grizzly, like, stuff like that. So I don't think that he's going to end up being retired as a Grizzly, but I don't think that means that you can just overlook him in Grizzlies history. I think he's very important. And then obviously, you know, the trade of Pau is what ended up getting us Mark. Even though you can talk about, you know, they didn't know Mark was going to be what he became at the time. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was pretty cool. And, hey, Mark and Pau Gasol, best brother duo in NBA history. I think this Hall of Fame selection, and probably Mark's, is going to be coming as well, I would say. I think he has a good chance when you count in all the, you know, FIBA World Cup and Olympic stuff as well. I think he's a really good chance. So they could be the first pair of brothers to have two Hall of Famers, all that. But yeah, shout out to Pau. Shout out to the entire Gasol family, and congratulations for sure.
Yeah, first I want to say, obviously, congrats to Pau. I watched the Hall of Fame stuff because really mainly, obviously, for all of them, but mainly for D-Wade. D-Wade's one of my favorite players growing up. As basically, all the speeches. And he did mention Memphis. Like he said, like, you know, he's appreciative of Memphis, and, like, you know, they – you know, what we did set a tone, and which I do agree with him. You know, like, again, like, he's not going to be forgotten in the history of Memphis. Like, anybody that's a real Grizzly fan knows what Pau Gasol did for the Grizzlies. But as for, like you said, talking about number retirement, yeah, my biggest thing is if they were going to do it, they would have been done it. Because Lakers already did retire his number. So it's like, if they were going to do it, they would have been set it after he got, like, traded or released or whatever. You know what I mean? Or retired. Like, they did that with Mike, Mark, Tony, and Zach. Like, whenever they – the basically, the day they got traded or, you know, didn't come back, they said, hey, there'll be nobody else that wears the number. So, and again, like you said, a lot of it's, you know, just – they didn't – I won't say they didn't do anything, but obviously, like, it wasn't the same type of cultural impact. And obviously, just from an accolade standpoint, if you go at accolades, I think he made one All-Star team as a rookie of the year, which is cool. Again, like, it's solid. But again, you know what I mean? Like, you know, the era wasn't, outside of that, you know, like you said, they didn't win a playoff game or playoff. But again, they set a tone. But again, it wasn't like what the grit and grind Grizzlies did. Like, most people remember, like, no disrespect to them, but most people, when they think of the Grizzlies, they think of the G&G Grizzlies. They think of Mike, Mark, Zach, Tony. Like, they think of those guys. Like, even though they didn't win, they always thought, like, man, that team was really good, and they had a chance at winning, and they competed with all the top teams. So, yeah, but still shout out to Powell, obviously. Again, you know, I, as a Grizzlies historian, like, I'm like myself, I'm going to always remember what Powell did. So, you know, and I, even the people before Powell, like, you know what I mean? Like, this franchise is relatively young. Like, so, yeah, but again, I didn't expect to get his number. I don't expect to see his number retired, but I mean, that doesn't mean, like you said, we forget about Powell. Like, you know, we're always going to remember Powell. And obviously, he'll always be welcome to go to Memphis games, and, you know, they're going to wish him the same love. You know, even though things ended kind of not well when he got traded, I mean, now, I mean, all is forgiven. You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, shout out to Powell.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll remember as a kid, you know, in elementary school, reading the little history of the Memphis Grizzlies book, and he was on the cover. So, like, that's that, like, back in the day, you know, he basically was, like, he was the guy for the Grizzlies. So I don't think you can ever take that away from him. And yeah, like I said, just congratulations to that. But then getting into, like, this last little segment that we got to get into is the in-season tournament schedule, at least for the group play, has officially dropped. It's going to start on November 3rd. The Grizzlies are going to go to Portland and play the Trailblazers. Then they're going to get a home game against Utah. Then they're going to play at Los Angeles, and then they're going to get a home game against Phoenix. Those are their four games for group play. Very tough group. You could say arguably the toughest group in the West. I mean, out of the three, I don't know if they are the toughest, just because I would probably say West B is the toughest group, just because everybody in that group either made the playoffs last year or looks to be a part of that picture this year. But, you know, for the Grizzlies, they're still going to have to play the Suns and the Lakers. You know, those are the biggest games. The Jazz, who are going to be on the come up after last season. They had a really good last year. And then the Trailblazers is going to be kind of 50-50, because we don't really know what Dame's going to be doing. But, you know, if Dame's playing, that's definitely going to be a tough game. And then even if Dame isn't playing, they're going to be playing, you know, Scoot Henderson, Anthony Simons. Anthony Simons always gives the Grizzlies issues, I feel like. I feel like he kind of just took over for C.J. McCollum when C.J. McCollum left. Anthony Simons was like, oh, so C.J. McCollum used to be the guy that kills the Grizzlies. I'm going to just take that up for him. So I feel like Anthony Simons is going to take that up. You know, Nurkic always, I feel like, has good games against the Grizzlies. So they're a team that, even though they might be a lottery team, it's not going to be just like a rollover game. But, yeah, that Lakers game, it's going to be interesting. I think I want to talk about that game first, just because that's the game, that's the playoff rematch. Hopefully Steven Adams will be playing. We'll see about Brandon Clark. But I think the biggest thing is going to be, like, I really hate to say it, but I just don't feel like it's not going to be the same atmosphere it would be if Dylan Brooks was still on the team. Just because I feel like if Dylan Brooks was still on the team, the atmosphere would be insane for that game. But there's going to be no Dylan Brooks. Ja Morant's still going to be suspended. So I think that's going to help on the, you know, the kind of fanfare around it. I don't think it's going to be as kind of talked about as it probably would have been, which actually I think might be a good thing. Just overall, you know, only one of these games is going to be nationally televised, and it's going to be that Suns game on NBA TV. So I'm somebody who, you know, I've been on the record in the past saying the Grizzlies deserved more national TV games, but I am completely fine with the fact that these are, you know, not going to be on national TV, under the radar, just because I feel like that's when this team is at its best, is when it's a little bit under the radar. So I think this is going to be a good thing for them. But yeah, that Lakers game is the one I'm obviously looking forward to, especially in Los Angeles for the first time since, you know, the blowout in game six. There's going to be a lot, like, coming into that, you know, the guys on that team, you know, Jaren has talked about it. That's left a bad taste in their mouth, you know, all year. And we'll hope that they can, you know, come out and play well in that game. But yeah, just like I said, all the games are going to be fun, and nobody in the West is a pushover anymore, it feels like. So that's what is going to be really interesting, to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how it kind of plays out, because, again, this is very new. And I don't, you know, like, all these count as games. So, like, they're part of regular season. it's just the group, you know, it's just going to be a different thing in their standings or whatever. Like, they're going to have a different standings for it. But, I mean, yeah, it's going to be cool. Again, with the Lakers game, yeah, obviously it's not going to have the same feel because Dylan's not there. Because, again, Dylan's part, basically majority of the animosity or whatever you want to call it, the answers, whatever you want to call it, Dylan's the main part of it. And for a lot of different things. And then, obviously, with no Ja, like, it's going to be a different type of game. It'll still be a good game, though, I think. You know, fortunately, I know we're in a, I guess you could say, tough group because you got Lakers and Phoenix. But, like, when you got Utah and Portland, not to say they're terrible teams. None, nobody in the West, to me, is, like, really terrible. But, like, those teams, in my opinion, we're better than, so we should win those games. Those other games are probably be the coin flips, I would think. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not really, you know, and also about the national television games, I'm not really pressed about just having one. Like you said, they kind of work better under that. And again, like, considering what happened last year, like, I like to say this, like, the game is the game. Like, of course, we're not going to have as many national televised games as we used to maybe or this year because of obviously just, one, what we did on those games that we had them, and also just other stuff that didn't have to do with the game. Like, it's just, there's a lot of different things. Like, with no Ja, like, it's just part of the game. So, and again, you know what I mean? Like, the games are still going to be played. Like, they're still going to have the same attitude about these games, or should have the same attitude about these games. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I would say the Lakers game is going to be fun. The Phoenix game will be fun, obviously. I hope they can go in this little group play. I hope they can go, like, 3-1. If they give me 3-1, I'm good in the NLO group play. 3-1, I'm straight. Now, at worst, I'm expecting 2-2. You know what I mean? If you can split, cool. You know what I mean? But they, you know, that's what I really, how I'm looking at it just off the rip, I like 3-1. If they go 4-0, I might, I mean, you know, I'll be happy, but I mean, I don't know what to expect just because, again, like, it's so early in the season. So, you know, it could go a lot of different ways. They could go 1-3. Like, it's just so early in the season. And so they probably might still be trying to figure things out. So, you know, but I do like that they gave them 2 home games and 2 road games. So it wasn't like there's like a kind of unfair advantage. So, but yeah, no, it should work out fine. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm expecting it to be like a really different thing that they're doing. And I don't know if we'll really notice the difference, obviously, until we get closer to like the, like, you know, semifinals and the finals of this, you know, in season tournament. But early on, you know, I think it'd just be like any other regular season game in a sense. So, yeah, it should be fun though.
Well, like, we both follow the WNBA. The WNBA just finished up their Commissioner's Cup, which is a little bit different because they only have one game. They don't have the whole, you know, knockout rounds, and, you know, the Liberty ended up winning that. But it's one of those things where those regular season games, it wasn't like that. Like, when I watched those games for the WNBA, it didn't really feel like it was any different. It just kind of like it counts towards something different. Now, the Commissioner's Cup game did feel a little bit different, but it was also the two best teams in the W playing, so that's also part of it, you know, defending champion. Like, when you get to stuff like that, so if the Nuggets end up being one of the teams, or, you know, if it ends up like Nuggets versus Heat or something like that, or like Nuggets versus Suns, you know, a team that just won the championship versus the new super team that just got built, or like something like that, I feel like it's going to draw a lot of attention. But I do feel like these group play games, it's more going to be like before the game, they're going to be like, hey, you know, the announcer might come on and Pete and Brevin will say, hey, this game is for the NBA Cup, technically, even though it's really just another regular season game. It just counts towards it. So it's one of those things where we'll see if there is a little bit, like, not to say that they don't try in the regular season, but we'll see. Like, I'm not expecting like a playoff atmosphere for those games. Now, when you get to the knockout rounds, that might be a little bit different just because it's one of those win or go home scenarios. And when you're talking about competitiveness and like fan bases, I feel like that's when you get the best out of the fan bases, is when it's one of those, you know, win or go home scenarios. But I think for those group play games, it's going to be pretty normal. It's going to be basically like a normal game. But I'm excited. I'm excited for it. I feel like a lot of people have been a little bit too critical of this whole in-season tournament thing, because for some reason people are acting like these games are, oh, it's meaningless basketball. Like, I mean, it's not meaningless basketball. It's as meaningful as a regular season game is, if not a little bit more meaningful, because you can make some extra money. So it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know how this is meaningless I mean, if you don't like regular season basketball, I guess don't watch it. But if you like regular season basketball, it's not one of those things where it's going to be like, oh, you know, just because it, they're not going to play guys in the regular season and then get to the tournament games and then rest people. Like, they're not going to do that. It's like a regular season game. It still counts for the season. If guys are healthy, they're going to play. So I do feel like a lot of people are being, like, way too critical of this whole thing. I'm cool with having new ideas, man. Let's try and see what happens. There's really a dead period in, like, the December and January part after the beginning of the season, you know, the first month of the season till the All-Star break. They wanted to have something there to make it more interesting because a lot of people have been complaining that it's not as interesting in that time of the year. So let's try it. If it doesn't work, okay, they don't have to keep doing it. You know what I mean? It's not like they signed in the CBA that they have to do this for the next 60 years. Like, if they don't like it, they can take it away. Like, I just feel like people are overreacting to it overall. But, you know, the full schedule is going to be coming out. By the time this drops, the full schedule might be out. It's not out at the time we're recording this, but it's supposed to be dropping on Thursday at 3 o'clock Eastern time, 2 p.m. Central. So, you know, we'll get a little bit more of, you know, the teams they're going to be playing around these other games. Because as of now, these are the only four games that we know the Grizzlies are playing next year because they're not going to be playing on opening night or Christmas. So these are the only four games we know that are officially on the Grizzly schedule. But we'll have more for that next week. And then next week, we're going to get into, you know, the full schedule breakdown, who they're playing, what's the toughest parts of the schedule, like all that kind of stuff. We'll get into that next week. But yeah, for the in-season tournament, I'm excited for it. I think that, you know, obviously the Lakers game and the Suns game, just because the Lakers, the team they played in the playoffs, the Suns, it's still early in the season, but, you know, it's the last game of these four, and it's, like, closer to December. So the Suns with, you know, KD, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, like that team, they're going to have about – probably 15 games under their belt, I'd say, at that time, if maybe a little bit less. So it's going to be a little bit less of, you know, them feeling each other out. It's going to be more of, like, not what they're going to look like at the end of the season, but they're going to have at least some chemistry. So I think that's going to be a really good test for where they're at, even though Ja's not going to be back. I think that's going to be a really big test. But yeah, overall, like I said, people have been a little bit too critical of it. I'm always down for new ideas, and I think that it could be something that's really exciting.
People that like to start, people that like to complain about this a lot of times just want to complain anyway. They were going to complain if they didn't have something new, and they were going to complain if something was new, which it is. So it is what it is on that. Personally, you know, I mean, I'm going to just give it a chance. Like you said, they don't have to keep it. Like, I personally hate it. Like, for example, I'll use an example. They had an NBA award show a couple years ago. I hated that thing. I don't know why they did it, because it got rid of all the ceremonies where people – holding up the trophies in front of the home fans. Like, that's what I liked. And guess what? They got rid of it. They didn't keep it. They didn't have to keep it. So they could do the same thing with this. They could be like, hey, it's not working. Let's just get rid of it. Like, there's nothing. Like, it'll be fine. Like, and again, they're only adding one extra game to it. Like, all these games are part. Like, people treating these games like they're something new. They're just part of, they're just regular season games that count for a different standing in, you know, their whatever, their NBA program. Like, that's all it is. You know what I mean? So, like, it's just going towards something different. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, people just want to complain. But, like, I mean, it should be cool. Like, you know what I mean? I really don't think people are going to notice the real difference until, like I said, until you get to closer to the semifinal dates or the final days or, like you said, knockouts. Like, that's really when you notice the difference, because that's when, you know, you have more chance of getting more money, or when the incentives start to really get kicked in. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when you're really done with it or you're not, like, stuff like that. So, yeah, no, I'm going to give it a chance. I mean, at first I was like, okay, whatever. Like, I didn't really care for it. But, I mean, I'm not going to be hating on it. Like, I'm going to give it a chance. Like, let it develop. So, yeah, man, you know, it'll be interesting to see how these games go, see which teams take it serious, because we could see some teams take, like, I mean, they'll take it crazy serious, but, like, a team like a Portland or Utah, like, these teams that maybe not here, you know, that are, I'm not going to say not going to make the playoffs, but have a harder chance of making the playoffs, might take it a little bit more serious because they know the incentive at the end. So, you know.
Oh, who knows? And I'll also say, not just teams that aren't going to make the playoffs, but teams like young teams that have a lot of rookie contracts. Because yeah, if you win, you get $500,000. And obviously $500,000 is a lot of money. if you're making, you know, $40 million a year like Desmond Bane, it's probably not as much money. But if you just got drafted and you're making, you know, $2 million a year and you're going from making $2 million to $2.5 million off of this, like, that's a big difference. So I feel like, you know, those younger teams like a Portland or a Utah, you know, to a lesser extent, the Grizzlies, just because, you know, their main guys are kind of locked up. But, you know, the younger guys on the Grizzlies that are still on rookie contracts, like all of those guys, I feel like this is going to be a time for them to really kind of showcase that. Because, you know, that's a big deal. I think $500,000, you know, anybody, regardless of how much money you have, another $500,000 is not going to hurt ever, like, obviously. But I just feel like particularly for those young teams where, especially like a team like the Rockets, who they have a lot of young guys mixed in with some veteran guys, like, that's a team that I would watch out for, you know, in the NBA Cup. They might surprise some people. And it's a one-game scenario, right? Think about how many times in one-game scenarios – really bad teams have beaten teams that ended up winning the championship. Like, it happens all the time. I remember a couple years ago, DJ Augustine beat the Bucks they ended up losing in five, like the year that the Bucks, I think it was either the year before they won the championship, but they were the number one seed in the East, and they dropped the game to the DJ Augustine Magic. And not to say, you know, no offense to that team, but they clearly weren't better than the Bucks, but if that had been a win or go home situation, they would have advanced. So I think it just adds in a little bit more parity to, like, the NBA has parity, but it just feels like so often, because it is a 7-game series, the better team ends up winning a lot of the time, more than, you know, when you look at like the NCAA, where a 16 beats a 1 seed, a 16 seed is never going to beat a 1 seed if it was a 7-game series, but in 1 game they can do it. Right. And I think you're going to see a lot more of that. Whereas, you know, a team like the Jazz is not going to beat the Nuggets in a 7-game series. But if they play and that's the first knockout round game, they might have a chance. Like, that's just how it is. And I think that's going to be, I think that's the thing I'm most excited about for the NBA Cup, is usually the only time you get a win or go home scenario for NBA teams is a game 7 in the playoffs. And not to say that that is, you know, that's rare. Like, it happens a couple times, right? For this, it's going to be every one of the games is going to be like that. Obviously, not to that same level of intensity, maybe. But, I mean, if you get down the stretch, I don't care. Like, if you're a real competitor, like, you're a real basketball player, I don't care if you're playing in the driveway. If it's next basket wins, like, they're going to be competitive. It's not that they're just going to throw it and be like, oh, this game doesn't matter. Like, that's why I feel like a lot of people just don't understand really the kind of cloth these NBA guys are really cut from. Because these dudes are very competitive. So if it's a win-or-go-home game, it doesn't matter if it's the NBA Cup or if it's a pickup game. Like, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's a summer run. Like, these guys will be competitive. But, yeah, like I said, I think the main thing that we're both want to say is that the in-season tournament, you know, whether you like it or not, give it a chance. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, to get to your point about, like, bad teams beating a good team, like, I think, if I'm not mistaken, last year the Nuggets, I think they lost to, like, the Pistons at home, like, later in the season. Like, they lost, and they ended up winning, and Pistons were one of the worst teams last year. So, like, again, people got to understand, like I said, this is going to be different than, like you said, 7-game series, one-off. You know, that's why people love the NCAA tournament, because it's a one-off thing. You know, again, like, you had series, you know, we're probably going to win these games. But that's why the one-off thing is, because that one game, if you don't play your best game, you're done. Like, it's over. So, you know, I think it'll be cool. I don't know if I really got much on it other than it'll be cool. I'm ready to see how the younger teams play. Obviously, that was a good point. Yeah, the younger teams that on rookie contracts, I feel like guys are going to play a lot. With a little bit more energy, a little bit more juice. But like you said, they're competitive, like NBA players. Like, people understand, these players are psychotic. Like, and I mean that in the most respectful way. Like, they are psychos. Like, they're psychos in how they think and how they do things. Like, or else they wouldn't make it to the league. Like, so you got to, yeah. You know what I mean? So, you know, people got to understand, these people are competitive. I know more money's being thrown around, but nah, these still NBA players at the end of the day. Like, they're going to try to hoop. Like, especially if it's like last bucket, next bucket wins. Like, yeah, they're going to try to play. Like, come on now. But yeah, it should be fun.
For sure. Yeah, but I just want to thank everybody for listening to this week's episode. Lots of cool stuff. We're going to be back next week breaking down. We're going to have some more Team USA stuff to get to, but also breaking down the entire NBA schedule for the Grizzlies, all 82 games. Talk about best parts, worst parts, the games you're most looking forward to. We're going to have all of that next week. But yeah, like I said, thank you for listening to this episode, and we'll see you on the next one.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Next Gen Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like and a comment wherever you download your podcasts. Head over to www.bluffcitymedia.co, where you will find comprehensive coverage of all things Memphis sports and how you can become an insider. We'll see you back here next time.